131873 is our number. Of course, you can send us emails. Lots of emails coming in. I'll go through the rest of the emails we have in just one moment. But I did want to bring you this because when you have a look at the impact of these lockdowns that we are going to have forced upon us, so people being told not to go out, and by definition, there are a lot of people won't be able to go out because the places they go to normally won't be open. Pubs, clubs, social gatherings, you're told not to go. Then there are people who are working from home. So you've got people who are going to be working together or spending so much of their time together at home, and is that going to create pressures? Is it going to mean, and it has happened in the past, people actually getting sick of each other, and perhaps this surge in divorce rates that's often talked about. So early today I had a chat about this with Fiona Reed. She's an expert divorce lawyer. She's with Reed Family Lawyers.
Good evening. Hi, thanks for having me.
It can work both ways, can't it, really? I mean, I suppose if you're spending a lot more time with the person, you know, cooped up in the house.
Look, absolutely. And I think, you know, people are under so much pressure as a consequence of this. You know, people are worried about their jobs if they haven't already lost their jobs. They're obviously worried about how they're going to make mortgage repayments and pay for the school fees and put food on the table. And so financial pressure that we certainly find in our industry is one of the major causes for people to separate. And I think the fact that people are going to be in social isolation together when they don't have the distractions of going out with friends or going to watch a game of footy or going to work is going to put a lot more pressure on relationships that aren't strong.
Well, literally socialising outside the house, there is nothing. There's no restaurants, there's no clubs, there's no sport to go to. The encouragement is that you stay at home as much as possible. And even the idea of having dinner parties. We heard earlier in the week there was a dinner party in Victoria that seems to have sparked about 7 cases. So dinner parties are off the table as well.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I mean, I think people need social interaction. It's great to have a fantastic relationship with your partner and spend lots of time together, but we're very social beings, and I think people are going to really struggle with not having that outlet to go and see their friends and go and watch a game of footy or go down to the pub for a drink.
Yeah. So what do you do in situations like this? Because, look, I've got a mate who lives, because I'm broadcasting remotely at the moment, but I've got a mate who lives not far from me. He actually works with his wife. They work out of a home office. They're with each other probably 20 hours a day, I reckon, and they get on fine. They actually are terrific, but for other people, that would be a definition of hell.
Absolutely. And I think you've got, I mean, obviously, you know, people who are used to working together will probably not notice much of a change at all. And if they're working as your friends are, they're probably going to be financially quite stable and not be too impacted by all of this. But for people who are used to going into an office and perhaps have different, you know, even just the pressures of two people trying to work from home using equipment that they need or trying to have phone calls or whose work is going to get prioritised, how space is going to be prioritised, who's going to look after the children when someone has those work obligations, all of those things are going to start to cause friction. And it's going to be, I think, really difficult for a lot of people.
Yeah. So what should you do? Are there any tips? Is there any advice? Because really it's got to be fairly generic because every case is different, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I this isn't really the realm of family law, but I guess people really need to appreciate that this is something that none of us have ever experienced before. We're all going to have to try and exercise some patience and some consideration towards each other. So, you know, maybe couples need to sit down and figure out schedules together about, you know, people's priorities and how they're going to be dealt with and who's going to manage children and other things. And maybe try to come up with some activities at home that are fun and replace all of those other things that people currently enjoy to distract themselves from the everyday, you know, boredom of life and working.
You, in your work, I suppose you see, because your work is in family law, do you see in the aftermath of things like the GFC or times of high unemployment a spike in this because of the pressures we've been talking about?
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. We've already seen a bit of a spike even in the last few days of people making inquiries. And I think that is because people are really anxious. They're anxious about, you know, taking massive losses in their super funds and, you know, share prices going down and people losing their jobs. And as a consequence, if they're thinking about separating, they want to try and resolve things as quickly as possible so that they're not caught up in those losses. So we definitely see a spike when these sorts of things happen. And then, you know, the aftermath of a GFC when, you know, as I said before, when people are under a huge amount of financial pressure, there's nothing that, you know, is more catastrophic for a relationship than a huge amount of financial pressure.
Yeah. Okay. So essentially, probably the best thing to do is to talk it through. What rather than, and I mean, how would I know it? We're all in the dark here in terms of how these things work for individuals. But just not bottling it up. At least tell the other person what you're thinking. I'm guessing.
Absolutely. And access, for sure. And access some sort of professional service. You know, lots of counsellors, you know, specialise in this kind of stuff. Psychologists. You know, the psychologists I know that I work with my clients, most of them have, if they can't see people face-to-face, they're organising, you know, some kind of Skype or Zoom, you know, interaction. There are lots of online services that people can access to try and help them through this period. And, you know, I think it would be, I realise the government's trying to bolster every sector of the community, but I think, you know, some money needs to be spent on these services to ensure that couples are supported during this.
Yeah. Can I ask you, do you know, because we've been hearing, we're all flying blind on so many different counts, but they are saying now that people aren't appearing in court. So is that affecting the family court as well?
The family court has taken some really sensible measures. So they are doing as many mentions as they can by phone to try and obviously, you know, stop people going into court en masse. Any matters that do need to be dealt with in the courtroom, there's a restriction on the number of people allowed into the courtroom at any one time. And they're trying to introduce some online services. And then matters that aren't urgent are being adjourned to a later date, but urgent matters will still be dealt with. So the family court is trying to, you know, make sure that people are continuing to have their matters dealt with, especially if they're urgent, but in a way that's safe for the community.
Yeah, and I'm guessing, look, I did an interview on this a couple of weeks ago. This is a broader question, which I know the Law Society and everyone's concerned about. There just aren't enough judges and not enough resources in the family court, and then this is just going to, it has to, by definition, slow things even more.
That's exactly right. I mean, the family court is under a huge amount of pressure, and unfortunately the timing of this couldn't have been worse for the family court, because they were, in fact, doing a bit of a blitz where they had judges from all around Australia coming in to try and clear some of the backload in the Sydney registry. So obviously that had to be put on hold. But, you know, you're absolutely right. There aren't enough judges in the family court, and the ones that are there are completely overworked and under-resourced and doing the best they can under very difficult circumstances.
All right. Look, I appreciate your time tonight, and I thank you. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks very much. See you later.
Thanks, Fiona. She's an expert divorce lawyer from Reed Family Lawyers, and I spoke with her earlier today.